Today we're going to be talking about the Sabbath. Okay, talking about Sabbath. What did Jesus teach about the Sabbath? What is the implication for us today in the New Testament? So it's very important for us to be very clear from the teaching of God how the Lord Jesus faced the Sabbath during his time and what changed over the years, especially in the book of Acts and so on. All right. So right now, before we go in, let's have a word of prayer and commit this out to the Lord. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come before you today to learn your word. Father, we know it's a privilege to hear from heaven. It's a privilege to hear from your word. Because, Father, many places in the world today, it is hard to find a place that, or rather it's hard to find people, or even places, Lord, who will teach the word as it is. And then we pray your Holy Spirit will open our hearts today to your meaning in the Bible about Sabbath, and what's the implication for us today, Lord, as New Testament Christians. And help us to be very clear, Lord, it's not what we think, but what your word says is most important. So, Lord, we pray you bless the hearers. Pray that our hearts will be prepared to receive your word. Pray for the Sunday school upstairs, the children. We pray, Lord, even the word of God will take place in their heart, will be anchored into their hearts, imprinted into their hearts, that they will have a foundation, Lord, for their lives. Speak to us, Lord. Help us to see the seriousness of the teaching of the Bible with regards to this whole issue of the Sabbath and the Lord's Day. I pray that you'll help us to understand the principles that you want to give to us. We thank you. Speak to us in a special way. Teach us from your word, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The first verse you have there is Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Let's read it together as a background. Okay. We're going to be looking at the whole area. So let's read it. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Ready? 1, 2, begin. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. What does the word Sabbath mean? The word Sabbath in the Old Testament, remember, the Sabbath was actually given in the Old Testament, all right, and it means a day of rest, okay? It means a day of rest, okay? Now, we want to look at what Jesus taught about the Sabbath day itself, what transpired in the Gospels, why did Jesus actually protested in some ways against the Sabbath, not the Sabbath day itself, but the way the Pharisees were using the Sabbath, okay? And over time, what actually changed, okay? Now, 3 points about the Sabbath. Number one, it was mentioned before the Ten Commandments. This is an important point. I printed some of the verses out so that you can actually refer to that, okay? Genesis 2, verse 3, the verse is there. You can read it. You can turn in your Bibles too. You can mark it down, ask questions. The Bible says, and God blessed the seventh day and set it apart. The word sanctified it means set it apart. Because that in it, in the seventh day, he had rested from all his works, which God created and made. Okay, Exodus 16:29. See, for that the Lord had given you the Sabbath. Exodus 16. In which chapter is the Ten Commandments given? Exodus chapter 20, okay? So Exodus chapter 16, they were just traveling to Mount Sinai, right? Before God gave the Ten Commandments, but the Sabbath was already mentioned. Okay? See, for the Lord that the Lord had given you the Sabbath, the rest day, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. In the context of this story, basically God was raining out manna from heaven, yes? Raining out manna from heaven. So on the sixth day, God says, okay, you take 2 days' portion. Alright? Because the seventh day, you're not supposed to go out and collect. Okay? Of course, the people sin against God. Maybe in that time, a typical Singaporean, kiasu, just in case on the seventh day also have. And they realized that when they went out, there was nothing. Okay? So, but in this passage, we see that God actually have the Jewish mindset. Already God has given the mindset of a rest day. Okay? Number one, it was mentioned before the Ten Commandments. Number two, it carries a divine authority because the Sabbath day in the Old Testament was included in the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is not 10 suggestions. It's 10 commandments. Okay, this is non-negotiable to be complied with instructions from God. The Israelites were very clear. These are the 10 commandments. God forbids anyone to break it, and there are severe consequences for breaking. Example, thou shalt have no other gods but me. All right, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Okay, any religion or any belief system that have graven images, that is idolatry as far as God is concerned. Thou shalt not use the name of the Lord in vain. Alright, that is also a, you cannot say OMG, okay, which is actually blasphemy against God, okay, belittling the name of God. Honor thy father and thy mother, okay, that is also a very important principle in the Old Testament, and is brought over to the New Testament, which means that God intended the obedience to parents to be a eternal principle, never to be changed, okay? And he says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And God mandated that in the Old Testament, all right? In God meant it to be a day. Deuteronomy 5 verse 12, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord thy God has commanded thee. It carries a divine authority because it was included in the Ten Commandments. God meant the day of Sabbath to be a day of rest and relief for the people of Israel. It meant it to be a play time where they actually stop from their labors so they can have some time to reflect on God. Okay, so that was the intention. And in the Old Testament, God found fault with Old Testament Israel because the Sabbath was not treated with spiritual worship. Okay, in Leviticus 19:30, God's record, ye shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary, I am the Lord. When God says I am the Lord, it means I am the standard. If I give you that word, it's because of my character. I'm the Lord. I'm in charge. And I'm giving you the instruction, ye will keep my Sabbath. But in Ezekiel 20:16, which is hundreds of years later, in fact, immediately the Israelites begin to pollute the judgments of God. Because they despise my judgments and walk not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbath. They defiled it. They defiled it. For their heart went after their idols. Now, in this context, I want to constantly remind us, it's in the context of the Old Testament. Context of Old Testament Israel. Okay, God was very clear that in the Sabbath day, that was a day that He set apart for God. Okay, and the Jews were very clear on that day, they're not supposed to do anything. In fact, there are very clear rules. You're not supposed to walk more than 1.6 kilometers, etc. You're not supposed to cook. Alright, because cook represents work. And so these are the things that people are, so on Saturdays, usually for Jews, not on Saturdays, the Sabbath day today is actually on Saturday. Alright, okay. So on Friday, they call it the preparation day, they will actually cook 2 days' portions of food. Alright, so that they won't break the Sabbath. That was a Jewish mindset. The problem with the Jews was, in those days, they broke it. Okay, and so God found fault with Israel. So at that time, Sabbath was a big thing. And we know Israel in the Old Testament was taken into captivity. He was taken into captivity. God wanted the land was to rest, okay, among other sins. Okay, there was a lot of sins in Israel. One of them was God wanted the land to rest on the seventh year. Okay, every 6 years, the land over the seventh year, God instructed Israel to keep the field as it is, leave it to regrow again. And God says on the sixth year, I'm going to double your harvest so that the seventh year you don't have to plow. Just rest, okay? But Israel broke it there again, okay? So you see that Israel keeps on breaking God's law, especially in the Sabbath, that God actually finally sent them into captivity, all right, for 490 years, all right? That's the history of Israel. Coming back again to the New Testament, in the Gospels, the way the religious leaders kept the Sabbath and the way the Lord Jesus Christ kept the Sabbath was totally different. To the Lord Jesus, it was a day of rest and respite in God. But to the Jews, keeping the Sabbath became a religious observance, meaning that it's part of the rituals. And for the Pharisees, it's very clear, if you don't keep the rituals, you don't go to heaven. Whereas the Lord Jesus is trying to bring back what God intended it to be. It's a time of rest, a time of reflection about God again, okay? So I want to highlight some lessons from the life of Christ about the Sabbath, okay? The Lord Jesus Christ, firstly, loved the Sabbath principle in the Old Testament. The Sabbath rest day principle is in the Old Testament. There was one time, Napoleon, I think many of you know, Napoleon actually tried to have a 10-day week, you know, 10-day week. And from the beginning of time, it's always 7-day week, right? Napoleon apparently during the time tried to have a 10-day week. And apparently in some historical accounts, even the horses fell sick. Even the, you know, Napoleon is a general, so he will fight. So he wanted a 10-day week, and even the horses fell sick. Because we need a day of rest. And God wisely Put it as 6 days you work, 1 day rest. 6 days work, 1 day rest. Okay? So the Lord Jesus Christ loved the Sabbath principle of rest. In Singapore, sometimes it's hard to get people to rest. We're workaholics. We work and work and work and work. NTUC, you know, 7 days a week. Do pity some of those people who come from overseas to work. Sometimes they're forced to work 7 days a week. And they say, no choice, oh. Or, you know, work 1 month, get one day off. That kind of arrangement in some. That's not God's will. That's not God's will. Okay? And it's interesting that even in our normal week today, even in our whole world, in terms of geography, in terms of the way we manage our time, is 7 days, 6 days work, 1 day rest. Okay? So the Lord Jesus loved the Sabbath principle in the Old Testament. How? How did Jesus reflect that love? By being in a synagogue. Okay? By being in the place of worship. It was a spiritual principle to the Lord Jesus Christ. When God put the Sabbath principle in, the Lord Jesus didn't see it as a religious observance. Kind of like, in different belief systems, in different temples, you have to go on a certain day to burn. You have to do certain things. You have to. Otherwise, I remember one time when we were in the Taoist, my mom is here, last time when we, in the Taoist religion, we would actually put at certain times we have to have food for the ancestors, okay? And so we're not supposed to eat rice and all that from those bowls. If you eat from those bowls, your mouth will go crooked. That kind of thing. I was told, you tell okay, those were the, and say, oh, okay, that's sacrilegious, sacred, you cannot anyhow touch. It's a religious, not spiritual, a religious observance, okay? Now, but to Jesus, the Sabbath day was a spiritual principle. It was a spiritual principle, and that's very important because we must realize the Lord Jesus Christ will not hold on to an observance if there's no spiritual significance. Okay? Or there's some biblical principle that he's trying to practice through his works. Okay? After this, we'll talk about that. Okay? The principle that Jesus used in this Sabbath spiritual principle is his relationship with his Heavenly Father. Because his Father gave the principle, so I'm going to listen to it. So the Sabbath to the Jews were important for different reasons. It related to, if you don't follow it, you don't go to heaven. Whereas for the Lord Jesus Christ, the spiritual principle behind the Sabbath was, it's a rest day that God instituted from the beginning. And we need to observe that principle. And it was more important to observe what God intended than what man intended. Alright, so that was his. Any questions? Okay, let's move on. Jesus was not a Sabbath breaker, because you find that in some of the situations, the Jews actually accuse him of being a Sabbath breaker. How dare you break the Sabbath? Okay, I'll talk about that. Jesus was conscientious in keeping the Sabbath. Why? Because continuously in the Bible, you see that Jesus was in the place of worship when he should be on the Sabbath. Alright, a few Bible verses there. Matthew chapter 13:54, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence had this man this wisdom and heard hear these mighty works? So Jesus was in the synagogue, and he only go to synagogues on the Sabbath. Okay, Mark 3 verse 1, he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. In Luke 4:16, and he came to Nazareth. This is important. This is the verse which convicted, or rather impressed upon me, the principle of us being faithful to the Lord's house. Okay, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Parents, listen to this. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Jesus was brought up in Nazareth. Okay, he was born in Bethlehem. He ran to Egypt. Remember when King Herod wanted to kill him? And then after that, after he came back to he wanted to come back to Bethlehem, cannot. Why? Because the king still wanted to kill him. He went to Nazareth, settled in Nazareth. So Jesus was brought up in Nazareth by who? Mary and Joseph. Okay, parents, are you listening? The children were brought, Jesus was brought up by their parents, and he went to the synagogue on a regular basis. Why? Because there was a spiritual principle that even Mary and Joseph, his parents, observed. In Luke 4:16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his habit was, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue. It was a habit of the Lord Jesus Christ. on the Sabbath day to be in the synagogue. Okay? Brother Johnny, that's not for us. That's in the Old Testament. Yes, it's in the Old Testament, but it's in the habit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we want to be like Jesus Christ, we need to follow his habits. Okay? Afterwards, we'll talk about that. John 18:20, Jesus answers him, I speak openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue, in the temple. Just say, I was always there. Okay, in John 18, they wanted to arrest him. And Jesus says, look, I'm always there. Why are you choosing this dark hour to come and arrest me? Okay? And so he was always in the temple. With the Jews always restored in the secret, have I said nothing. Okay, so Jesus loved the Sabbath principle. Number two, Jesus protested against the idolatry of the Sabbath. Protested against the idolatry of the Sabbath. The Jewish leaders had made the Sabbath, which was intended to be a day of rest, a day of reorientation back to God after 6 days of work, into a day of burden. There were things that the Jews were commanded not to do. And the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't just picking on small things. The Pharisees have made observing the Sabbath so burdensome that it actually became a spiritual burden for the people. When the people, it was supposed to be a day of joy, of rest, of relief from the burdens, so that they can reorientate in the worship of God and to confess their sins and to come back to God. The Pharisees actually put a lot of burdens. You cannot do this, you cannot do that, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, to the point that the person, and if you break one of these small things, you're sin. And so people, because many of them were unlearned, and so they depended on their religious leaders to teach them. Many of them didn't know. And so after a while, the religion, so-called Christian, the Judaism, the Old Testament, which is supposed to set them free and help them to come back to God, it became a burden for them. When Jesus came, he saw the hypocrisy of the Pharisees because he said, you tell them to do this, but you yourself don't do it. Okay? So it became a religious practice without spiritual significance. And Jesus protested against that. All right? As Christians, just as a principle, when we see a principle that God gives, but it's not held on to, it is our responsibility to pray, and then in God's timing, highlight that if necessary, okay? So coming back to this, example is, there are certain, a man can bring an animal to the water, okay? A man can, this is crazy, a man can, in the Sabbath, the Pharisees say, you can bring your animal to the water, but you cannot bring water to the animal. You can bring the animal to the place to drink, but you cannot bring the water to the animal. Because that's breaking the Sabbath. And if you break your leg on the Sabbath, you cannot do anything to him until after the Sabbath. And Jesus protested against that, right? Let's look at the book of Luke chapter 13, verse 14 to 16. Again, Luke chapter 13, verse 14 to 16. We'll just see if it's there. Okay, Luke chapter 13, verse 14 and 16. Let me just read, and then you sense the hypocrisy of and as Jesus protested. He said, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. All right, there was this lady who was bound 18 years by Satan, all right, the illness, and she was there. But when Jesus saw and touched her, she was healed in the Sabbath day, on the in the synagogue. And the ruler said, how dare you do that? You're not supposed to do that, you know. Okay. And the ruler of the synagogue, verse 14, answered with indignation, was angry that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said to the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered and said, thou hypocrite, he protested. He told the leader, basically told the pastor, you're a hypocrite. Oh, not a pastor, a religious leader. And he says, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead them away to watering? In other words, on the Sabbath day, you bring this animal at least to get some food, to get some relief. And Jesus said, oh, not this woman who has been bound by Satan 18 years be loose on the Sabbath day. And Jesus says, look, you are keeping your laws to the point that when someone needs help, you're not willing to give it. You're a hypocrite. That's what Jesus said. He protested against that. That was... To the Pharisees, it's what? Hello. You make me lose faith. Lord Jesus Christ, please understand this. It is never in the heart of our Lord to put down anyone, except when there are some spiritual contradictions, and he has to correct that. Because the ruler of the synagogue publicly denounced a healing by God, and Jesus had to look at him and say, "You are a hypocrite." And the Lord Jesus Christ is not afraid of man, he's more fearful of God. And he said, "Look, if you would do some humane thing to bring your donkey for a drink so that he will be relieved, and this is an animal, this is a human being who has been sick for 18 years. You should be rejoicing that God is doing something, and it's on the Sabbath day." All right, and Jesus protested against that. The Lord Jesus saw that these people associated God with burdensome laws given by religious leaders, and therefore perverting the true meaning that God intended for the day of rest. We're talking about Sabbath specifically. They came to think more about what they were forbidden to do by the religious leaders instead of thinking of God as their Heavenly Father. Does that make sense? If ever you come in point of your Christian life, you don't talk about true Christian freedom. God set us free. But we're often bound by our own knowledge of what needs to be done, needs not to be done. Okay, and we need to be careful about that. Let's look at Matthew 15. Jesus therefore protested by showing sometimes utter disregard for the Pharisees. Now to that day, sacrilegious, you do not speak against the Pharisees. But Jesus did. Because he came with the authority of God the Father. All right. In Matthew 15, verse 2 to 6, let me just say, why do the disciples, that he was accused again, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? But he answered, Jesus answered and said unto them, why do we transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, honor thy father and mother, and he said, he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. By the way, before God, that's still an important principle today. You don't curse your father or mother. Okay, anyone would... God will not hold us guiltless. Okay? So just remember there's a principle. But then, Jesus said, the Pharisees said, but you say, whosoever you say to his father or his mother is a gift, but whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have he made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Now what does this mean? The Pharisees actually had this. The Pharisees knew you're supposed to honor your parents. But when you honor your parents, let's say you're supposed to give your parents $200, let's say. And then after that, you say, okay, I want to give it to the gift as a temple. Give the $200. And the Pharisees' teaching is this. If you were to give the money to the temple, then it's not a sin, even though you're supposed to take care of your parents. Does it make sense? The Lord Jesus in the Old Testament have never said that you don't take care of parents when you give your money to the temple, but don't take care of parents, it's okay. Jesus have never said that. Or the Old Testament law has never said that. But the Pharisees came up with a rule that, yeah, for the same amount of money, if you give it to the temple, then you've not sinned. But the $200 was intended to honor your parents, to take care of them. And you say, oh, it's korban, it's a gift to God. You're okay. That's hypocrisy. And Jesus said, you have come up with your own standards and make God's standards of none effect. There are some churches, unfortunately, and some churches that we know of, that they'll ask, that there was one girl, she was very offended. Not offended, she was very confused and she was very guilty. Because she went to a particular church, and the church was always giving, to the point that she didn't even have money for lunch. And so she decided not to give, and they made her feel very guilty about that. And she was very stumbled by that. What? I don't even have money to eat. I mean, it's my mom's parents' money as well, you know? And it became a rule that you need to give, otherwise you're backslided. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. By the way, just from that, three uses of money that God gave you. Number one, support the work of God. Number two, feed your family. And number three, give to the poor. That's the biblical reasons. And God doesn't contradict his reasons. But what one take over the other, you need to be very careful. It becomes legalism. All right? And the Pharisees, and Jesus protested against it. You are coming up with your own rules, and you're making God's rules of none effect. What are you doing? And Jesus protested that. Okay? Now, the Lord Jesus never meant to discredit the Sabbath day as God's institution. He fought against. He fought for a more spiritual view. He wanted people to go back to what God originally intended. So, 7 days is not for you to do your own thing. It's not for you to come up with rules so that people who want to worship God can. God wanted them to rest and to come to God. And the Old Testament, the Pharisees were changing things. Okay? And he fought for more what you call a liberal view, that you don't have to follow all these things. Right? Now, there was this author I was reading, and he was mentioning a little bit. One thought, we may wonder what the Lord Jesus would do today. You know, in the Old Testament, or rather in the times of Jesus, coming to the synagogue was a very important thing. Okay? Going to a place of worship on Sundays, on the Sabbath, is very, very, very important. If you don't, you're a backslider. Okay? But Jesus, of course, protested against that because it was so rigid that people are not free to worship God in the way that God intended. Okay? But this author then said, would the Lord Jesus Christ protest today in 21st century Christianity that men have swung to the other extreme, and the day that they should come and be in church to honor God, they choose to put other programs in its place, like parties, like different things. Would Jesus protest that? After all, it's the Lord's day. It belongs to Him, right? Would Jesus rebuke us for our desecration, or be less severe, or His anger be less burning when today most people disregard the day to dishonor God? And I want us to think about that. Okay, there are duties. I know some people may work. There's a duty of life that you're called to. You need to be faithful to that. But the thing is, when we have a choice to honor God or to do our business, and we choose to do our business, would the Lord Jesus protest against that as well? And that's something that we have to think about. Because we are a Christian, first of all. We're not a worker, we are a Christian. Because when we die and leave this world, it's our life with God. The business we have no longer exists. And therefore, we need to put first things first, okay? So I want us to think about that. Later on, we'll talk about that. Now, firstly, Jesus respected, or rather, He loved the Sabbath principle. He protested against idolatry. Number three, this is the true purpose of the Sabbath. Let's look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. We won't go through the whole thing. Well, Matthew chapter 12 basically are two principles in the old in that Jesus put in that we can still use in the New Testament now. Okay, in Matthew chapter 12 verse 1, okay, there was the needs of. The first one is acts of necessity. Acts of necessity. Okay, Jesus went the Sabbath day to gather corn. Disciples were hungry. His disciples were hungry. Okay. That's a necessity, right? Okay? In Chinese, we say, Ren yo, san ji, one of the ji is eat. Okay? We are hungry, so we need to eat. Okay? It's a need, act of necessity. So what did Jesus do? Jesus went to the corn, He went to the cornfield and took the corn and ate. And gave it to the disciples. And the Pharisees say, what are you doing? You're working on the Sabbath day. And Jesus says, look, my disciples are hungry. You can't wait for 24 hours. You need to feed them now, you know? And so Lord Jesus took the corn and gave it to the disciples. And Jesus used the illustration in number three. Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and they were with him? And how he entered into the house of God and did eat the shoe bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. All right? And then how they profaned the Sabbath and are blameless. You know what Jesus was trying to tell? Look, what I do supersedes what you think the law thinks. Because later on in verse number 8, for the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. So Jesus in this passage is trying to help the Pharisees understand, look, the Sabbath day, that the way you are keeping is wrong. Because God intended it to be a day of rest. And one of the things that was allowed, permitted on the day of Sabbath is acts of necessity. If you need to do something, for example, if Brother Song Ling breaks his leg in training on a Sabbath day, you realize under the strict Jewish law, the doctors cannot attend to him. He might bleed to death. And so Jesus says, look, you're a hypocrite. He is bleeding. He needs help now. Sabbath day or not. And Jesus imposed his authority by saying, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm in charge. I was the one who gave the rule. And I say it's okay to do acts of necessity. Does it make sense? Because why the Lord Jesus is more concerned about a broken leg than about observing a rule that actually hinders the healing of a person. Okay, so acts of necessity. But number two, acts of mercy. Acts of mercy. Alright? So, of the 33 miracles, several were done on the Sabbath day. Just some points for you. The Lord Jesus Christ did not hesitate to help someone on the Sabbath day when he saw that the person needed it. There were people who were being delivered from demons, Mark chapter 1, in the synagogue. Okay, there were people who were healed. Peter's mother-in-law was healed in Mark chapter 1. There was an impotent man in Jerusalem. When he went on the Sabbath day to Bethesda, he saw this man beside who was sick for 38 years, and Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. And that's why the Pharisees took issue with him. He said, no, I'm here to heal. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Okay, so the Lord Jesus Christ, it taught the people the real meaning of what Sabbath is all about. Okay, really. Point number four, the Lord Jesus, by his death and resurrection, changed the Sabbath day to the Lord's day. Okay? Up till now, up to that time that Jesus' life, the Sabbath was still at the end of the week, which is the seventh day. Okay, the seventh day is a Saturday. Okay, the Jews still observe today, Saturday is still a Sabbath day. Okay, in Luke 23, verse 56, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day, according to the commandment, according to the Old Testament law. And that's why in Matthew chapter 28, in Mark chapter 13, and Mark chapter 16 and Luke chapter 24, you'll find that the Bible says, at the dawning on the first day of the week, the ladies brought the spices. Does it make sense? So the ladies rested, but on the first day of the week, they brought the spices to the tomb. Okay? So after the resurrection, the apostles and the disciples from the early church marked the first day of the week for special worship and service for God. For what reason? You know why we meet on the first day of the week? Two main reasons. Number one, to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And number two, to give the first day of the week to the Lord. Okay, this is actually a worldwide phenomenon. Okay, and on Sundays, Sunday is not the last day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. Sunday is still the first day of the week. Okay, and for Christians to come and remember the celebration of the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Okay, we don't just remember the resurrection during Easter and Resurrection Sunday. All right, Jesus rose from the dead, and every Sunday, the reason why we come is to remember we are Christians, and we are supposed to go and celebrate the fact that our Savior is alive. Okay, and in the New Testament church, if you read the book of Acts onward, that was what happened. Okay, the disciples from the early church marked the first day of the week for special worship and service for God as a memorial of the Lord's resurrection from the dead. It is noteworthy that of the 10 appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ, six of them took place on the Sabbath, and in that year, the day of Pentecost was, sorry, six of them, 60% of the 10 appearances took place on the first day of the week, and the day of Pentecost was on the first day of the week, when the Holy Spirit empowered the church. Because the day of Pentecost is what, 50th day? Right? 50th day. 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 49. And then on the first day of the week, the Holy Spirit came and empowered the church when the church was together. Alright? And so this is an important lesson for us. The contrast between the Sabbath day and the Lord's day is this. The Sabbath day meant a cessation of work and rest, but the Lord's day represents newness of life with reference to the resurrection. In preparation for a new week as we serve the Lord. Okay? The trend of scripture soon took the Lord's day, the first day of the week, as a day of study the Word of God together, to break bread, Acts 20 verse 7, to prepare for an offering, 1 Corinthians 16:2. It was to be an assembly of believers. Paul admonished all to ensure attendance at such meetings, Hebrews 10:25. Okay? And the first day of the week is found in the following passages, just to make sure that we are very clear. Matthew 28 verse 1. in the end of the Sabbath, it began to dawn towards the first day of the week. Mark 16, verse 1 and 2. And when Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, the mother of James and Salome, had brought spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre of the rising of the sun. Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre. And John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark. Okay? So, any questions up to that? Of course, we're going to the practical lessons. All right, just 4 points very quickly. Jesus loved the Sabbath principle. Okay? He protested against the idolatry of the Sabbath day that the Pharisees were imposing on the people. It became a burden to worship God rather than a joy. Okay? And number three, he taught what it meant. It meant that on the Sabbath day, acts of necessity and acts of mercy are permitted. And number four, the Sabbath was changed from the seventh day to the first day of the week, which is a Monday. Not Monday, sorry. See our mindset. Yeah. So we always say our mindset. Okay, it's Sunday, it's the first day of the week. Okay? It was changed to remember his resurrection and for us to come together to learn the word of God, pray together, encourage one another, give our offerings as well. Okay? This is all taught in the New Testament. Any questions? Sabbath is still Sabbath. It's still Saturday. Because the Jews, remember Acts is a book of transition. Okay, so some of the Acts of the Jews were still being brought. So the word Sabbath still means Sabbath. Okay, it still means Saturday. Don't mistake it. Okay, yes. Sorry. Let me finish that thought. Okay, let's finish the thought. But Paul was always reasoning with the Jews on the Sabbath day because that's the time that all the Jews were there. And so when he went to the synagogue, he took advantage of the fact that Jews were there and he preached them Jesus. Okay, so I just want to finish that thought there. It's still Saturday. Yeah, but Paul deliberately go to the place where everyone is there to respect the Sabbath. And that's why after Paul preached, they wanted to kill him. Okay, many times. Does it make sense? Okay, so Sabbath is still the Saturday. Right? What's something? Yes.
And the Lord's Day is the day where Christian meetings will be carried out. So when you try to say that Sabbath is a change to the Lord's Day, I think.
Okay. I understand. Okay, let me just go on to the practical lesson. I think that will answer the question. All right? Because as much as... Okay, let me put it this way. When I say change, it means that for the Jewish Christians, the Jews during that time, the synagogue worship was always on a Saturday, which is a Jews' holy day. Okay? When I say change, it means that in the New Testament, there seems to be a shift on the day of worship for the Christian, although they are still Jews. All right? The first practical lesson as we move on, I think that will answer the question. We are not bound by any days to honor the Lord. To be consistent with the New Testament, it is very clear from the teachings of Paul that in Romans chapter 14, verse 5 and 6, okay, let's read there. So we're very clear that these are biblical principles. Okay, I printed the verse there so you can just go. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth day regardeth he unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. There was a situation there, Paul was talking about days as neutral. Okay, the word days and food are neutral things. Okay, there were some believers that no, you must be in church on this day. Okay? It must be whatever. Okay? So, but Paul was saying, look, this has regard, you have to be clear, it doesn't cover every area of Christian life. It only covers things that are neutral. Days are neutral, food is neutral. Whether I eat bitter gourd or not, I may not like bitter gourd. And if you say, no, you don't eat the bitter gourd, you're a sinner. Paul says, no. Because in the olden days, food... for example, there are some religions say you cannot eat meat or cannot eat whatever. If you eat, that means it is actually a desecrating a sin against that particular religion and all that. Paul says, look, no, food is neutral. Food is neutral, okay? On the same day, people may attach special significance to a day, but another person don't attach special significance to that same day, it doesn't mean that I'm more spiritual than him. Paul says no. It's just that you attach a special, for example, your birthday is of special significance. You have to do something there. To another person, no, it's not special. I can do anything I want. Okay. So Paul is teaching that principle because there's this debate. For the older Christians telling you, you better be vegetarians, otherwise you are a sinner. And Paul says, no, you don't put that kind of burdens that is not recorded in Scripture on people. Okay, that's what he's trying to say. So the principle, we're not bound by any days to honor the Lord. Okay, we're not bound by days itself, right? However, to be clear, we need to honor the Lord, worship and praise the Lord every day. That's one thing. Okay? We are bound to, we need to honor, worship, praise the Lord every day. In all our work, all our lips, our life, our family life, we need to honor the Lord every day. Okay? But point number two, which may answer Brother Song Ning's question, there is the Lord's Day that is set aside weekly for reflection, remembering, and the rejoicing of the resurrection of Christ. It's a day that the local church has set aside that the world doesn't work. Or rather, no, sorry, I won't say the world. Singapore, Sunday is set aside for rest day for a lot of companies. Some companies still work, I know. But for the believers to reflect the principle of the New Testament, they came together on the first day of the week to worship the Lord. Okay? As a general principle, a fixed principle in the New Testament, because after the Sabbath day, the Jews no longer observe the Sabbath day because they are no longer under the law but under grace. And so they choose the first day of the week, which reminds them of the resurrection of Christ, as a day set aside to worship the Lord. Okay? And today we have the privilege of doing that. Okay? Does that make sense? There's a trend in the Bible, there's a pattern that the apostles, the early church adopted. It's also a day that's provided for us in our modern day context, Sunday, and therefore all the more as believers, we need to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. Now, if you're not here because of some due, if not here, is it a sin? Depends on whether you choose not to be there or not. Because if God set it aside, we need to be there to worship the Lord. Why would a Christian not want to go to church? Think about that. There was one man I was talking to. He said, oh, I'm from the Southern Baptist. He was from the U.S. And say, oh, sir, and then, but I don't go to church anymore. I say, why? Why don't you go to church? Okay, a student will go to school. So a Christian should go to church. I say, no. Anyway, I think he was drunk, so I won't waste my time talking too much. It is a fallacious, it's an erroneous thinking today that I can be a Christian, but I don't have to go to church. Because the church is in the Bible. And God didn't put anything in the Bible so that we can just take it or leave it. Okay? And in terms of the coming to the Lord's house on the Lord's Day, when we don't have a choice, for example, bound by duty, Brother Song Ling had to be overseas for... It's bound by duty. It's not there because he has a choice. It's his duty of life. And he has to be there. But when we have a choice and we choose not to be in church, that's a sin. Because the Lord's Day is a place to honor the Lord. As a Christian, we need to be a place that will honor the Lord. But we choose to be elsewhere, then there's a serious problem with our relationship with God. Wouldn't you like to be there where someone you love is there? Think about that. Remember, when I say this, I'm saying it from a perspective not of you have to be in church, but from a perspective of you are saved, you're a Christian. You love the Lord Jesus, don't you? And where the Lord Jesus will be, won't you want to be there? Those of you who, before you were married, all the couples here, every time you know that person is there, hey, you try to make a lot of arrangements just to be with that person, wouldn't you? Why is it that when it comes to the Lord's house, we kind of, whoa, you're not coming here to worship man, you're coming here to worship God. And if the local church in which you're part of has set aside that day, then we need to be there. Does that make sense? It's a place for reflection. Once again, to actually be very clear with the principle, some of us say, but Brother Johnny, you know, there are certain things I still have to do. It's part of my work. Fine, then do it after service. Honor the Lord first. Put Him first. Okay, switch off your mobile phones for the first 4 hours of the morning. Come to church, worship Him. There was one time, I was called out for in-camp training. You know, the what you call that? Mobilization, okay? And on that particular Sunday, we were supposed to be on standby. And true enough, as Pastor was preaching, no alert, whatever. Then I say, I'm part of the 2 hour notice to move forth. So anyway, it was I think, okay, Pastor will probably preach. I'm not 45 minutes. I might forget it first. Then after that, I just took a cab down. Because everything was ready. Put God first. Okay? Put God first. And it is very interesting, when you start putting God first, God will honor you. Okay? The principle is this. We need to set it aside. Because 6 days you have to do all that you are doing. It's a few hours on a Sunday morning too much to surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I'm very busy. You know, we would make time specially to be with our family when we are so busy, right, for periods of time. Say, no, this part, we need to set time for the Lord as well. He is your Savior. He's the one who saved you. Does it make sense? Okay, can I plead with you from a position of loving the Lord and our relationship with Him? Okay, so the principle is, firstly, we're not bound by any days to honor the Lord. There is a Lord's Day that needs to be set aside for weekly reflection, and the Bible calls it the Lord's Day. Okay? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, Revelation chapter 1, when John wasn't Lord's Day, represented the first day of the week. Okay? When he was supposed to set aside for his worship. Okay? Number 3, I'll just finish off, then we can take questions. We need to set aside this day for the Lord and His intention. The Lord's will for the Sabbath in the Old Testament, the intention in Isaiah 58, verse 13, 14, it's interesting. If thou would turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, if thou would turn away from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. To be very clear, in Isaiah 58, it refers to the Old Testament Jews. Okay? It has to do with the Old Testament Jews. But the principle that God was trying to say is this. I deliberately, listen to this paraphrase, I deliberately set aside Jews, Israel, the seventh day of the week, seventh day for you to rest, so that you can come before me to honor me, to worship me, and if you would follow my will for you, I will bless you. That was true of the Old Testament. Okay? Now, going on to the New Testament, the principle is we're not bound by any days to worship the Lord. Okay, we're not bound by any days. But there is a appointed time that we come on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week, to worship the Lord. Going from the principle that we're not bound by days, but yet there is a place and time that is set aside to honor the Lord. The question is, where should we be? When the time is set aside to honor the Lord, where should we be? Where we will honor the Lord. Okay? That's why it's so important for us to be very clear. So it's not so much the attendance right now. In fact, if you put the Lord first, you'll be at every meeting. You know why? Because Jesus is at every meeting. Did you know that? Every assembly of Christians, whether on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and is appointed by the local church, Jesus promised that where 2 or 3 are getting my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18:20. Jesus says, look, anything that is done to honor me, anything that is done in my name or my work, I'm in that. I'm with you. So which means that even in prayer meeting, we have 2 persons. Jesus says, look, I'll honor your faith in honoring me by being with you. Okay? And so when we understand the principle of God's will, what should occupy our thoughts on the Lord's Day is a reverence, observance of the Lord. Okay? As a God-given way, I like this, because this author finished the chapter this way. He says, the Lord's Day is a God-given way of intending for us to protect our lives from the invading sea of this world. I mean, hey, all of us as Singaporeans are very busy. Right? We are very, very busy. And Singaporeans not only don't sleep at night, some, we have 24 hours prata shots and all that. You got people who work 24 hour production, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Singapore is very busy. And Singapore apparently is the nation with the least sleep, isn't it? You don't sleep as much as people compared with the world. No wonder we all... No wonder... You know why? My theory is why people sleep in church sometimes, because that's the only time they get to rest. And sometimes I don't mind, except that sometimes when I do this, then it makes them a bit shocked. So please pardon me, especially for babies, they cry. Honestly, if you're really working overnight and you come to church and fall asleep, I don't mind. But the fact that you say, Lord, I know I'm tired, I'm going to crash out, but God, I'm there. I want to be there. And it was, anyway, I get to use stories about, I was in NS and all that kind of thing. But God set aside the Lord's Day so that we have an opportunity to say, God, I love you so much. I'm so busy the whole week. And it's an opportunity for me to be with me. Lord, I promise you, I'm going to cancel all appointments. I'm just going to set the first 6 hours of, maybe from 9 to 3, just be with God's people and just worship you, Lord. I'm just going to put away. And it's God's way of stopping the sea of invading, the world invading into your lives. Say, no, as a Christian, I love God. And just like if you have a family, you want that protected time that you just be with family. And you know that the motivation is love. It's not religion. It's love. And as a Christian, we serve because we love. That's the only motivation we need to have in serving God. Okay. So is God given will intending for us to protect our lives from the invading sea of the world, a time where we place off the things of the world, put on Christ and His work and His word, a time to reconnect, refresh ourselves with the fellowship of believers, be involved in ministry that will serve others for the glory of God, and to point people to Christ. Okay, this author also says the modern day saint in the secular age, Sunday observance for the spiritual culture of the soul is flouted. That means we don't see it important anymore. I'm not saying you're, I'm saying in general principle. Some people say, I don't go to church, never mind, just fall asleep. I'm very tired. Anyway, I'm going to fall asleep in church. You know? So I might just sleep at home, more comfortable, right? Wrong. Wrong. It means a lot to God that you're there. Just like if you have a wedding, or if you have something that's so important to you, you like to see people coming and supporting you. By the way, we're not supporting God. We're worshipping Him. That's a different thing. Can you imagine if for the wedding next year, maybe half the church says, sorry, I got this thing, I got that thing, I cannot come, and all that kind of thing. How will you all feel? Okay, Lord, don't come, then my Lord, I understand, right? Really, do you understand? There's something inside the heart that says, this is my once in a lifetime, Lord, and pastor's not going to be around. No, don't worry, I will be. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ sitting right here and say, I honor your faith by my attendance because I promise you that if you come in my name, I'll be there. But then God's people take the attitude of, I'm too tired, I got this appointment, I can't make it, I need to go elsewhere first. The Lord Jesus knows all our reasons, by the way. Would there be a tear in his eye and say, I'm here for you. I knew you had a need and you had to come. I had people who say, Pastor Johnny, I don't want to come to church. You know why? Because the moment I come to church, I'll be convicted. And true enough, some of the people who came back to the Lord was because after resisting, okay lah, go lah. And the same thing, God convicted the heart and God changed that person's life. Can I just encourage you? When, you know, the more we come to the second coming of Christ, the more we need to respect the attendance together. You know why? No one in your workplace is going to encourage you to walk with God. Or even if they do, they don't teach you the right doctrine sometimes. And you need to be very careful. But when God has set aside in the local church a place, a time that you come together to worship, the less important. Our prayer meetings are important. Our DGs are important. Why? It's actually a refuge from the world. Reconnect with God's people again. You know, I think sometimes we don't see the importance of that because we don't connect with God. And say, God, if... By the way, God is at every DG. Agree? Every discipleship group, God is there. Why? Because God wants to touch people's lives through His Word. Alright? Church, this author says, travel, sports, centers of worldly amusement, work, capture time, money, and attention of money. Church attendances are on a downward slide. May the Lord impress on us this very important principle, honoring the Lord on the Lord's Day before anything else. Okay, with an opportunity to honor the Lord. And by the way, God gave us 168 hours to do our sleep. Half of that is on the bed, sleeping, you know. Or for Singaporeans, maybe less. Alright? But then there's eating and all that. How much time do we give to the Lord? Okay? If we really go by the strictly 10% principle, we're supposed to give 16.8 hours to the Lord. Okay? But you know what? God is not the type of person that will... Okay, 16 hours, you minus a 0.8, cannot, you sin. God's not going to do that. God's going to say, where's your heart? Even if you're there for 20 hours a week to so-called serve God, but your heart's not there, God says, what's the point? You know what? Can I encourage you to perhaps... You know, I've learned also, sometimes it's not to add things to your life, it's to reprioritize. Yes. Yes.
Let's say, for example, I know some churches are like, you say, okay, Saturday also can.
Yes. Because in some churches, if I'm not wrong, in some countries of the world, when the police and all that will be after them, they know that this church is meeting on Sunday, so they just change to Friday or something. It's okay. We have church on.
It's still on Sunday, it's just they choose another day.
But I say, we're not bound by the days. In fact, we can go to church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We can have services every day if you like. But would you come? I know of churches, you know, in Macau, they go to church every day. They stay up to 12 p.m. Not noon, midnight. Then after they go to work, and then after they go to church, do little ministries. In Macau, Watergate Baptist Church. They go to church every day. And they have worship, they have different things, of follow-up, they have choir, whatever. If police in Singapore only want to catch us on Sunday, then we move it to Thursday. Oh? Yeah. If they say, okay, only this way, then we move to houses. Because it's the assembly of believers, not the building. It's not the day. Because we can honor the Lord as much on Monday as we do on Sunday. It's just that majority of people don't work on Sundays. Majority, I'm not saying all. Majority don't work on Sundays. It's a day set aside for rest and reflection. Then we ought to make it the time that we just come. Brother Johnny, you know, Monday is Saturday after I work very tired already. I know. But if you really love the Lord, if we love the Lord, tiredness is not going to be a reason. Okay? Like I say, come to church and sleep. It's okay. Okay. Yes?
I think the verse that was given in Ephesians 2:16.
Which is?
Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of
Okay.
Amen.
I think that Paul is saying that there are some people who say you don't come to church on Sunday means you are sin against God, you good for nothing, whatever. Okay. They were bound. But like, to answer Brother Joshua's question, yes, we can have church on Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, because the Bible says we're not bound by any day. It's just that we are appointed. Look, if as a church you say, Pastor, if you live in Malaysia, for example, where Friday is the off day, in Johor, not Malaysia, just Johor itself. Okay? Then we have church on Friday. Because all of you all can come. That's why Lifegate Baptist Church have problems now. Because their church is on Sunday and everyone is working on Sunday and Friday is their off day, but there's nothing. And the problem is the missionaries from Singapore and Singapore's Friday, they're still working. So mission can only count half the church population is not there. Why? Because of the change of days. You can worship God as much as Friday on Sunday. Okay. So if the missionary says, okay, we're going to change it on Friday, I think more people will come. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, very quickly, some practical things. Okay, what can we do? Number one, as believers, we need to decide that there's no other place we should be on the Lord's Day except in the Lord's house as first priority. If it's a set-aside time, then let's honor the Lord there. And I don't just mean service. People say, oh, service is the most spiritual thing, I'd be there. No Sunday school. Many Christians don't grow in Christ because they don't come for Sunday school. Because Sunday school is where we teach specific principles that you can govern your lives with. Okay? Just very quickly, on Friday night, we usually teach Christian living, alright? Encouragement. Sunday school, we deal with principles, Bible doctrine principles. And Sunday service is Thus Saith the Lord. Non-negotiable truth. That's why people who only come on Sundays feel very guilty when they go home. Because that's here the Lord. It's non-negotiable truth. Okay? But in Sunday school, you can ask questions like this so that you can clarify your doubts and all that. Okay? So number one, as believers, we need to decide that there's no other place we should be on the Lord's Day except in the Lord's house as first priority. Okay? If someone is sick, you need to attend to that. I don't believe the Lord will frown on that. If you have a choice whether or not to come to church and you choose otherwise, God will have a serious question mark. That's my day. Where are you going? Okay? Number two, that we come prepared to worship the Lord, to learn the Word and be involved in God's work. Okay? I know there's a phenomenon in Singapore. Many of us, when we come on Sundays, we're very tired. And it's true. It's true. That's why we need God's grace every day. We need God's strength every day. We need to encourage each other every day. Okay? My instruction to the worship team is to make sure that we make no mistakes so that when people come, they just have a time they can just worship the Lord and sing properly. And the messages are also think clearly to help us in our needs, because when your needs of the soul is met, your relationship with God is reconnected, you get strength from your Christian walk with God. Okay? We need to come prepared. What you can do is, in the morning, get up a bit earlier, sorry. Get up a bit earlier if you need to. Say, Lord, going to church, help me to bless one person. Lord, help my heart to be prepared to receive your word. And you know what? I see some of the younger children actually picking up pen and writing. This is a good habit. Okay? If you think you can remember everything from the message, I said, my brother, no worries. I go on MP3, I listen again. Fine. But you know what? One thing I've learned, if you write down notes, it helps you to crystallize some of the thoughts that God may want to work on your heart on. Okay? Come prepared. Number three, that our hearts may be centered in the refreshment of our souls and also those of our household, that they may find Christ. What do I mean? When we come to church, we find refreshment for our souls. And as family, we bring our loved ones along that they may also find rest as well in Christ. Okay? Please remember, coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. I always say it's quite funny. I think it was Answers in Genesis that started this. You see, you don't become a Christian when you go to church, just like you don't become an aeroplane when you go to the airport. Alright? Okay? You come to church. You know how you become a Christian? When you hear God's word, you say, I believe God's word. And God changes you from the inside. That makes you a Christian. Okay? Number four, prepare adequately for the house of God on Saturday night. Try not to sleep late. Alright? Try not to go too much on Facebook on Saturday night. Okay? Don't play computer games. Alright? Yes? Okay, you want to play, finish at 6 p.m. Saturday, then the rest of the time just reorientate your minds away from all the things of the world. Just prepare our hearts, okay? There may be certain things you need to do, but you know what? Make sure all your ironing is done for your clothing on Sundays or on Saturdays so that on Sunday you just get up, you do your devotions, you pray, take your breakfast, you go. Okay? So Satan works overtime on Sundays. He works overtime. You know why? He sent his demons out. La 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 la. Keep sleeping. You make sure the alarm clock you accidentally kick in the night and break. It doesn't work. So you interrupt your sleep and next morning you don't have alarm clock to get you up. Okay? You make sure your children cry. Okay? You make sure there's some uncomparativeness that happens. You make sure that it works over time. And you know Satan comes to church too? Make sure that Google come in, make sure you interrupt you all the time. Okay? Our brother Tim has made it very, always put, please switch off your handphones. Please switch off. Okay? I was thinking of maybe we should buy this big, this kind of cupboard with small pigeonholes, whereby each family has the allotted pigeonholes. So as you come in, you put your handphones inside. Then we seal it, soundproof it. Okay? Yeah, for two reasons. One, it doesn't interfere with you listening. Number two, it doesn't interfere with the electronics that go around. Okay, because sometimes when they actually do the audio again, it becomes a problem. But I think we don't have to go down that track. If all of us just take response, say, Lord, I'm going to honor you. Psh, off my phone. One of our brethren shared before when he was in the church. Another one song leader just stood up and said, I think you can honor the Lord by just switching off your phone the next 2 hours. After all, it's been on 164 hours 166 hours the whole week. Just 2 hours, just leave it to the Lord. I think we can do that. All right, so think about that. Come prepared. Number five, obey. Obey. What does it mean to obey? In Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. There's a categorical imperative in the Greek. That means it's a command from God. In other words, when Paul told the Jews, he wasn't saying, well, I wish you would listen. He said, no, be at God's house. Not forsaking. It's interesting, I was just going through family devotions. You know the word not forsaking? Why? Not forsaking. Forsaking has the idea of actually something that is important to you. Or should be important to you. So when God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now when God says, I'm not going to forsake someone, I'm not going to leave someone I love. Okay? And when the Lord Jesus Christ loves something, it should be loved by us too. Would you agree? And so God says, don't forsake. That should be the thing you love. You see, the word forsaking has the idea of knowing it to be important, you walk away from it. Does it make sense? And when God says, don't forsake, don't knowingly leave something you know to be important. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. What's the thing? Assembling of ourselves together. As the manner of some is, people don't go to church today. You know, many people don't go to church in the first century. As a manner of some is, some of you guys are doing that now. Okay? And when Paul wrote this, it was in the first 100 years of Christianity. But exhorting one another. What exhorting means? Walk with one another. Encourage one another. And so much the more, as he sees the day approaching, we all know Jesus Christ is coming again the second time. And you know what? We need to be more in church. We need to be all more opportunities for fellowship, for encouragement. Why? The closer we are to the second coming of Christ, the darker the day will be, and the colder the spiritual environment will be. You know how we get warm? There was one time when I was just a teenager, I was part of this youth group. And we went fishing at Bedok Jetty. You know Bedok Jetty? Bedok Jetty is one long bridge. Oh, apparently they do military exercises there, so Bedok Jetty there. Okay, so we'll go all the way to the end. It's about half a kilometer, a few hundred meters out. Okay, so we'll do fishing there. It's about 2 a.m., you know. There's a couple of teenagers, unskilled fishermen trying to catch fish and we didn't catch anything. So it was cold, so we all wanted to sleep. So we all asleep. So about 5 of us, we were just kind of on ground shit. That time I was quite big. Okay, I was quite big. I'll be honest, I was quite big. I was primary 6, but I think I was about 60, 70 kilograms. Quite big, quite round. And I saw a little bit more warmth. And it was 2 a.m. in the morning. All of a sudden, I felt something moving closer to me. Yeah, I looked, oh, this guy by the name of Wai Ming. And Wai Ming is like Joseph's size, but smaller. And he's about primary 4 or primary 5. And I let him crawl in because I knew he was cold. And I have enough for two, put it this way, enough warmth for two, you know. You know, as Christians, we need to come and be fired up by each other and encourage one another. And I'm thankful for the Fathers for Christ group. We are going on with sharing our testimonies and our encouragement and through the verses. And I'm sure many people from different groups are sharing. We need to do that often. You know why? The day is getting colder. Some of you, if you're not careful, will be like ice cubes whereby... What happens to ice cube water when you put in a cold situation for a long time? You become ice. Some Christians have become ice for God. They're not hot anymore. Why? Because there's so much in the world, and the world has so enwrapped them. So when they come to church, church becomes a strange place for them. Think about that for a while. Teenagers, when you grow up thinking church is boring, you know what's happened? The world has captured your heart. Because this is a place where the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of this universe, the Savior of this world, our personal Savior, He's here every time we gather. That's why it's so important for us to understand that. All right. Any questions as we close? Yes, sir. Yes, it's only for Israel. It's not for us today. Because we're Gentiles. Yeah. It must be very clear. Yeah. The Jews today still observe Saturday in the nation of Israel, and Jews over this way. In fact, in Singapore, Armenian Street, there's a Jewish synagogue. They still observe Saturday. Right? Yeah? Desmond managed to do a story or something like that. Yeah. So, they still observe on the Saturday. For Christians, we are not bound by the Judaism principles. Okay? So we're very clear. As Christians, the Bible is very clear. We have to honor the Lord every day, and the Lord in the New Testament seemed to, the apostles, the prophets, the early Christians set aside the first day of the week, which is what we are doing now, to worship the Lord. Yes. Anyone else? Okay, well, now let's have a word of prayer, and then after that, we just have this coffee and tea outside. About 20 minutes, then we'll start the service, all right? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you come to set us free from man-made laws. Father, we thank you for your word that gives us freedom as we know the truth. And for us, Lord, I believe not so much to just know the truth, but to obey it, so that we can have your blessings as well. Father, I just pray, even as we have fellowship, and just encourage one another. Teach us, dear Lord, to love you with all our hearts, because you did. When you died on the cross, Father, you poured out your love. Oh yeah, you judged sin, but you showed your love at the cross, the mightiest demonstration of love in the history of man, when the God of this world, or rather the God of the King of this universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, not the God of this world, the King of this universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, died at the cross for sinful men, undeserving, hell-bound sinners like us. But yet, Lord, through your intervention, through your love, through the mighty demonstration of your love at the cross, for those who trusted you, Father, you changed their lives. Father, you changed the disciples' life. You changed Zacchaeus' life. You changed Paul the Apostle's life from a murderer to become a missionary. Only you can, Lord. And Heavenly Father, I pray you be with us. Help us to know, Lord, you in a far more personal way. And Father, if there's certain things like in our minds that are binding us from having a good relationship with you, could be sin, could be our own perceptions, help us to put it away so that we might walk with you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Bless the service to fall at 11. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay, just spend time fellowshipping. There's coffee, tea, and all that.